ever since Lord's continuous feet? Is it often based upon kind of a tangled sense of ease in the body that sort of anchors or well-being in the body that sort of anchors one?
Well, that's very helpful, you know, in terms of being able to, because in order to maintain mindfulness, you have to be able to maintain effort, and an effort that is strained and creating tension is going to wear one out, and as soon as one starts to wear that out, then that habit of mind kicks in where it's like the word the Buddha says that for the ordinary unenlightened putujana, the only escape from unpleasant feeling is pleasurable feeling. So that if one is even trying to hold sense restraint to such a degree that one is then creating, yeah, this sense of tension and tightness and stress, well, then it's going to swing over to the other side, and then you know grasp grasping something as a relief from that uncomfortable quality. I mean, that's the story of Ajahn Chah, where he, that 3 months, he just made it absolutely, he says, I got to do something about this sensual desire and lust. I said, okay, I'm just going to be, I'm not going to look up, I'm not going to, and he spent the whole 3 months, he's got incredible resolve, I mean, there was sense restraint, but it was also, there wasn't much natural about it, so it was just really forced. And he's, you know, he had a lot of will, so he's able to maintain that for 3 months, and not looking at anybody, not looking up, and there was this well-being at that time. And then he said, "No, it was sort of the last day of Pansa, okay, I've really done a good job on holding this practice for 3 months. Maybe I can look up and see what's happening around me." And sort of the first thing he saw lifting up his eyes was a young woman. And he said, it was just 3 months of practice. It was gone. He said, it was like being struck by lightning. So I was like, you know, he learned a lot from that. But yeah, it wasn't. He learned how to be a bit more balanced.
So, I know there's an implicit teaching here. Would you be willing to spell it out?
What's that?
What should one? What is beneficial as opposed to just sort of shutting everything down?
That sense of acknowledging the you know what's going on, but then, you know, having seen the form with the eye, and it's okay, it's paying attention to the because it's really important to pay attention to the causal process. Okay, there's the nature of the mind to go towards dislike, aversion. There's the nature of the mind to go towards attraction. And one has to be able to see what one's picking up and proliferating rather than just holding the mind in a place. And it's the same way in terms of making the mind peaceful in terms of samadhi. It's like you can force the mind to be on the breath, you know, for a certain amount of time, depending on the level of energy and will one's wants to is able to muster. But one can hold the mind from having any other thoughts. But that doesn't actually mean the mind is peaceful. It isn't in balance. And so that, like when we say ekagata, ekagata doesn't mean, because oftentimes we take it as one-pointed, so that if I just hold my mind in this one-pointed place for as long as possible, then I'll make the breakthrough and everything will be good. as opposed to ekakata, meaning unification of mind, where the mind is actually different faculties of mind are working together and harmonizing so that there's this stability that is able to see clearly. So that's both the application of wisdom as well as the application of restraint.